MD, RadioMD.com.
He's a cardiologist. He's a chef. He's America's culinary interventionalist. It's time for Code Delicious with Dr. Michael Fenster.
Hello, Food Nation, Healthy Nation. Are you ready for scrumptious and salubrious wrapped up into one tasty treat? I know you are. And I know that you know that means it's time once again for Code Delicious. Today I want to talk part one of two parts. I want to talk about determining the value of food and whether we have it right or wrong. For what is and wherein lies the value of food? Many would answer that the value of food is defined solely by the nutritional sustenance that it provides, the worth of a particular comestible being nothing more than the aggregate of the various proteins, carbohydrates, fats, vitamins, minerals, and other necessities required to keep the human machine comfortably cruising along at the frenetic pace that is our modern society. In the current scientific and medical analysis, this food is fuel approach predominates, and it also colors the perceptions in both the approach and the subsequent recommendations. The result is rather bland and sterile dissection, narrowly focused, and by its very nature objectionably isolationist in its concern. Others might do argue that the value of food lies in the social and individual interactions. As usual, the inimitable Tony Bourdain sums up this position quite succinctly. As a chef, I'm not your dietitian or your ethicist. I'm in the pleasure business. And therein lies the dilemma. The value of food is dependent upon both the completely objective nutritive properties and the completely subjective experiential attributes. If we leave the business of experience for now and concentrate on the former, we must first characterize the term food value. What does it mean? Well, the value of anything in broad terms can be defined by the sum of two frequently opposing variables. The value of any object X is dependent on both the quantity received and the quality of the item. Simply expressed another way, the value of an object X is a summation about the quantity received and the item's inherent quality. A simple experiment highlights this principle. Suppose you were to offer 100 people the following choice. They could either have one of the latest cutting-edge 80-inch 3D internet and Wi-Fi ready, ultimately tricked out HDTVs, or they could get 25 black and white 6-inch televisions from 1960 with no modern capabilities, rabbit ear antennas that might or might not get you a few stations if you happen to be lucky and Mars is in the house of Sagittarius. Most everyone would agree for the vast majority, if not the entire 100, would choose the one big screen LCD television. The reason is simple. In the determination of value, the superior quality offered by the modern LCD television clearly outweighs the increased quantity but significantly lower quality associated with the black and white televisions. 25 old and nearly useless black and white televisions are not as valuable as one big screen modern appliance. This is the type of calculation we make every day, sometimes even unconsciously, whenever we purchase a product, a service, or make some form of transaction or contract. Except, it seems, except when it comes to food. When it comes to food, we tend to focus on the quantitative measurements as a surrogate for food value. We make comparisons based on the caloric value. As discussed in The Fallacy of the Calorie, Why the Modern Western Diet is Killing Us and How to Stop It, this is not only a misguided but a dangerous approach. We may also focus on the nutrition labels and the percentage of various RDAs to the exclusion of how the food was processed and produced. We may become blind to not only what it contains, but what it doesn't. And you know, if this approach was correct, even in the least, we would not witness the endless litany of superfood fails as they continue to parade before us, harkening back to their origin in the days of snake oil salesmen. We've all heard the siren song of the latest miracle pill or supplement bar containing this extract or that ultimate antioxidant. We've watched them fade away into the late night infomercial ether without ever making a mark of dietary difference. Sometimes we address our quantifiable cravings in a more direct manner. If a regular casket crunch costs $1.29 and we can supersize and get six more for only 39 cents. Well, gosh darn it, that must be a bargain. And a bargain means value. So we end up skipping that brief pause of reflection. If we are only paying 39 cents more for a half a dozen, and they are still making a profit selling it to us, just exactly what sort of synthetic neo-slime are we being peddled? And therein lies the chipotle-flavored rub. In the quantitative approach, for example, red meat tends to be lumped together. An ounce of beef is presumed to be an ounce of beef in much of the same way a pint is a pound all the world around. But the data shows that a single one-pound ribeye from a heritage breed, pastured, grass-fed, and finished cattle is a far cry from 16 ounces of the latest recombined, massively processed, dehydrated, super-flat sheep meat. The origin, the breed, the variety, the growing, the rearing, the method, all that is what the French term the terroir when describing why two bottles of Bordeaux separate in time and space by only a hillside can be so vastly different on the palate. And the method of processing, the degree of refinement, preservation, and packaging only serve to add layers of potential trappings. These changes to our food and our food pathways is why the strictly quantitative approach no longer applies. There was a day, and it was not that long ago, when a chicken was a chicken. They were pretty much all free-ranged, pastured, consumed a natural, varied diet, and met, if not exceeded, today's stringent standard for an organic product. In this scenario where there is an equivalence of quality, quantity becomes the driving force. Since every $1 bill is worth exactly $1, the value lies in the quantity of dollars you can accumulate, or chickens, as the case may be. But today we find a piece of chicken may range from an exclusively delectable breast chicken breast from France to restructured poultry scraps commonly known as a McNugget. And we are only a few short steps away from complete reassembly utilizing 3D food printers. And yes, it's already been done, just not yet commercialized. With the advent of modern global agribusiness and an ever-burgeoning fast food and convenience food industry, it has become an issue of quality versus quantity. You know, to survive in the prehistoric world, we needed the skills to hunt and gather. And then, as civilization progressed, we learned agriculture, we learned farming, we learned animal husbandry. But yet, now, in our modern world, it has, unfortunately, come full circle. Once again, we are challenged and find that we must utilize all our faculties to sleuth, search, and deduce. Once again, we must learn how to properly source our food. And yet it is not because, as it was in a prehistoric world, that the failure to do so would result in starvation and death. No, it's not. In fact, it is precisely the opposite. It is because we live in a world of excess. And because this excess is all around us, 24/7, 365, that we have this incredible luxury, this luxury called choice. But with the luxury of choice, great responsibility. We must learn to choose wisely. Failure to do so, failure to properly source our food, carries the same consequence today as it did in the times of our ancestors. Disability, disease, and death. And that's a diagnosis. You're listening to Code Delicious on Radio MD with Dr. Mike.